I listen to my elders. This is a thought for today. Dr. Herbert O'Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California. I listen to my elders. In the jargon of Indian language, the elders are those who have gone before and those who have been wise and significant in the development of the culture of their tribe and the culture of their group. And these are the people that everyone turns to for guidance and for help. The elders have always been of consideration not only in Indian tribes, but in the tribes of humanity wherever they are found. In Africa, the elders are considered as being wise and wonderful people to listen to, and certainly in the prehistoric tribes, the same thing was true. This is true in Hawaii, this is true in the Polynesian Islands, this is true in the cultural history of Japan and China and every other country on the face of the earth. The elders, as they are sometimes called, the legislators, they're called the congressmen, senators, and the assemblymen. These are the people who are guiding the tribe, guiding the people into what it is that is beneficial for them to do. Now, in many cultures, the elders are a cult. They are a group of people who are worshipped by the rest of the tribe as being the guides and directors of their way of life, and this is all beautiful. Now, coming down to our present-day lifestyle, we realize that what the elders have always said was follow your own inner guidance. Because the elders say, now, you are out in the forest. You are out in the wilds. And you are being faced by, say, a big brown bear. Now, what are you going to do? Are you going to be a warrior and take your instruments of control and attempt to control that big bear? Are you going to try to outrun the big bear? He can outrun you. Are you going to try to outsmart him? Or are you going to be like so many people? They don't create big bears in their life, so they do not have to face them. This is a matter of decision on the individual part. Now, you're standing there facing this big bear who is quite interested in having you as his dinner. And it's a perfectly normal thing, because this is how animals go around finding their food. They find food that is acceptable to them, and they go for it. And we don't think anything of it when they run for a rabbit, or they go for a gopher, or they go for a snake, or anything else under the sun. But when they go for a man, oh my, then our dander is up. Then we are quite concerned, and we should be. We very well should be concerned when the universe goes after us. Well, why is it we should be concerned when the universe goes after us? Well, as the elders would tell us, we are superior to all other conditions on the face of the earth, and including each other. We are superior to them insofar as we can act individually to accomplish whatever it is that we want to accomplish. We don't need to have a tribe. We don't need to have a flock. We don't need to have a gaggle. We don't need to have a pack of wolves. We don't need to have a pack of hyenas or anything else to do these things. We have our own inner guidance and wisdom. And that inner guidance and wisdom tells us, never place yourself in harm's way. Never place yourself in harm's way. What does it mean not to place yourself in harm's way? What it means is that you do not create yourself in situations where you are liable to be hurt. Okay, now, you walk into a room and there is a fight going on in that room. everyone is mad at each other, and they're right next to hitting each other, but there's a mental fight going on right now. And so you walk in that room, and you must be there for some reason. And so you say, peace, peace. In your heart, you say peace. You don't say it out loud. You say peace. And you close your eyes for a moment, if you choose, and you say peace, peace, peace. And then you just look around you, and you see every face gentle and loving and peaceful. You see every action that every person in that room is taking as gentle, loving, and peaceful. Now, our elders have taught us that to avoid conflict rather than to go into it. Stand up for your rights, stand up for who you are, but avoid conflict rather than create it. So, when we say peace, we are avoiding conflict. When we say peace, we are bringing into control a greater power than we had ever used before, and that power has always been within us. That power has always been available to us to use, but we have not always used it. That power is us. That power is the divine in us. That power is the wisdom of all knowledge, wisdom of all the ages, wisdom of all the existence that is. We know. You take a person like Daniel in the lion's den. Do you think Daniel wanted to be placed in the lion's den? Well, he had to be. He had to want that, or else he couldn't have had it happen. So Daniel wanted to be placed in the lion's den. He said, "You cannot hurt me." And he just went and did whatever they asked him to do. And when the lions came up to him, he looked at the lions and he says, "Hi guys, how you doing?" He said, "I love you. You're wonderful. I seek only goodness for you, and I know you seek only goodness for me. But I seek only goodness for you." And he sat down, and the lions came and laid their heads on his lap. They're pretty heavy heads, too. But they came and they became kittens in his world. And the onlookers, those in the great stadium that were watching this unusual event, were shaken because they expected him to be torn to shreds by the lion. And they were used to seeing all of this blood and guts and all this terrible stuff going on because they came to the stadium purposely to see it. They loved it. They just loved it. But then when they saw him being untouched by the lions, they thought, what kind of deodorant is he using, you know? What sort of thing is he doing to keep himself from being mauled by the lions who mauled everybody else? They were not fed ahead of time. They were starved ahead of time, so they'd be sure to go in there and do a good job and clean up their mess, too. So, why didn't they touch him? Now, you don't know Daniel. You have never met him. You were not there when he did it, or were you? Maybe we're one in the allness, and we were there, too. Okay, maybe we were Daniel in our consciousness. If we were, that's beautiful. If we were Daniel, you can be sure that today you'd be living that same attitude, of peace, love, harmony. Not protection, not safety, but just peace, love, and harmony. There's nothing to be protected from. You love everybody. You're peaceful with everybody. You're in harmony with everybody. What's there to be protected from? What's there to be safe from? When you're driving your car, are you always driving your car according to the rules of the highway, the rules that have been given you? Are you always going the second step or maybe the first step? The first step is I surround this car with my pure white light of love. All its ways are peace and all its paths are pleasantness. We don't say anything about safety. We don't say anything about protection. We don't say anything like that. We just say the truth. All its ways are peace and all its paths are pleasantness. And then we drive harmonious with the rules of the road. When it calls for a certain speed limit, we drive at that. We set our cruise control right at that limit or a mile or two below. Oh, no, we can always go a mile or two above, maybe 3 miles, 5 miles above, and we won't be stopped. Yeah. But you know that you're violating the rules of your society when you do that. You know that. You know that in your heart. You know that in your soul. You know that in your physical body. And your physical body is not at rest so long as we violate what we know are the rules of our society, the rules of the road, the rules of anything that we're doing. We are not at rest. Our body is in turmoil and confusion. And we get backaches. We get headaches. We get all sorts of aches. We get bad teeth. We get ulcers. We get cancers. We get all these things. You think not? Anything that you have agreed to do and you don't do, your body is unhappy with you because your body says you should be a person of your word. And if you agree to do this, then you should do it. Now, where do our elders come in on this? Well, our parents have taught us the same things. Sometimes our parents teach us not nice things. They teach us that we can drive above the speed limit and not get caught. They teach us that we can give somebody the finger who has moved in on us improperly on the road. We can use our horn and get angry at people. We can slam our brakes in front of people and just to show our anger and have them crash into our rear end. We can do all of these silly things, you see. But that's not what our elders have taught us. Our elders is a term meaning our spiritual guides and counselors, those who have helped us along the path to where we are now. And then the elders must go. The elders must go. For if we hold on to the elders after we have arrived at maturity, then we are violating the rules of whatever we are. If we're Christian, we're violating the rules of the Christian philosophy. Jesus said, I must go so the Comforter can come. The man must leave so that we no longer worship the man. And the Comforter, which is our divine reality within us, the divine spirit within us, our divine self, that must be revealed and that must be made our guide, our direction, and our way. Okay, God, what do we go do here now? You're listening within. You can say, okay, elders, what do we do here? And the elders will say, well, I have told you all I know. I no longer am going to sit on your back and make you behave. That is what we are doing for those who are here. And the elders will tell you this too. I've spoken with the elders of many Indian tribes and many tribes around the world of different organizations, different groups of people. And the senior citizens, the senior leaders, the elders, the guides, the people of this, they are guiding the young so that when they arrive at maturity, they may be teachers or guides themselves, or they may be wonderful leaders, but the thing is, they must untie the apron string and let themselves go from the elders who taught them. They didn't hold them, they taught them to a point. Now, what are we doing about this? Each one of us, we say,
well, now, I'm pretty damn smart. I know what's going on. I'm a real sharp kitty cat, you know?
Sure you are. Mm-hmm. A real sharp kitty cat. Mm-hmm. I tell you, the cats are smarter than you are. You say, well, Herb, that's not very nice of you to say that to us. Well, they are. The cats know the rules that get them what they want. And they conduct those rules. You don't. To get what you want, now let's just say this in a very simple way. You want a healthy body, okay? You want a healthy body? Then do not give your body tension. Do not give your body confusion. Do not give your body the feeling that you don't care. You know, people die because they don't care anymore. They have lost their interest. My webmaster says to me, why have you taken up the Macintosh, the Apple computer, when you got everything with the PC and you have to learn a new system, so on? And I said, well, you know, some people do crossword puzzles as they get older to keep their mind young and sharp and crisp and clear. I just take on new computer systems, you know. And this causes me to be alert and sharp and clear and think not only of running the system, but how I can integrate the system between systems and how I can accomplish all of the goals that I have in mind. And do you know, in the process, ideas that I had tucked away in my mind until another time come forth with their solutions. And it's quite beautiful. It's quite beautiful. And you might say some of it was accidental. No. It's because my body is relaxed. Because I live in harmony with nature. I live in harmony with the laws of my society. I live in harmony with the rules of my life and my world and my body. I'm at peace. And when I'm at peace, then everything works out. Now, you can be sure, and this goes for me or anybody else, anytime you have an ache, a pain, an illness, a disease, whatever it may be, it's because our thoughts are out of alignment. It's because we have not been at peace, or we have not been peace within ourselves. Now, I won't ask you this silly question, but I'll just propose it as something to think about. Do we ever drive over the speed limit? Do we ever drive under the speed limit? Now, I'm talking about what the medium speed is, to drive less than 45 miles an hour on the freeway. Do you ever drive less than that? Do you ever move onto the highway at an inopportune moment and make someone else slow down or make someone else feel irritated by your presence? Do you ever get angry at somebody else because they cut you off or because they do some silly thing to you? Or do you instantly say, bless you, have a wonderful day, and mean it, and mean it? If you can do that, the ulcers go away, the cancers go away, the backaches, the pains, the headaches, and the undesirable things to our body go away, and no longer is confusion there, but there is peace. No longer is there anything that is inharmonious with our life, but there is order and balance, and all of our body is in perfect divine order. We have at our fingertips all this. Now, go ahead. Go back to Jesus and say, Jesus, help me. Jesus, do this. Go back to your church and say, minister, help me. Priest, help me. You know, rabbi, help me. You know, guru, help me. Oh, my God, help me. And then all of those wonderful beings say to you, it is done unto you according to your own belief. It is done unto you according to your own belief. Now, what is your belief? Do you want me to heal you in spite of the fact that you continually hold thoughts that are going to bring that type of a condition back into your body? Do you want me to heal you and bring you into wholeness when you are continually holding bad thoughts about other people and your relationships to the world? Because if you are healed, and that can be done, we can cut the cancer out, says the doctor. You understand? We can give you a pill. We can take away the problem. We can alleviate the circumstances by taking away the panic and the tension and stuff from your body. But the minute the pill is gone, it's back because you haven't taken the core out. Now, how do you get at the core? How do you get at the real problem of what we are? Well, it's certainly not in having the doctor do anything for us. Whether he's the doctor of the shaman, the doctor of the ministers, the doctor of the priests, the doctors of the rabbis or temples or whoever they may be. It isn't them. It's us. It's when we will cleanse our own inner temple. And we cleanse our own inner temple not by sweeping it out. You never clean a house by sweeping it out. You clean a house by making it dust free. You clean the temple by installing a beautiful humidifier, which means perfect attitude. You install within the temple of your body and your house a beautiful filtered furnace. That means heavenly thoughts, warm thoughts, harmonious thoughts, joyous thoughts. you go on and on and all these other alliterations. And what are we saying? We're saying we do not remove the old, we merely replace the old, if you will. We merely install a new system. Install a dust-free furnace system in your house, and your house will stay absolutely clean of dust so long as you don't open the windows or doors, and so long as you don't come in and out and bring your dirty clothes with you and bring your dirty self. You see, that's then. But you see, now you have both the open doors, both the furnace dumping in dust in your house, plus open doors, plus you walking in and out with dirt on your clothes and stuff. Little by little, you clean it up. And then you get to the point in that illustration. You cannot conceive how one speck of God's substance can cling to another speck of God's substance where it is not wanted. Or, all specks of God's substance exist in their perfect divine order. That is a more positive way, but the other is more illustrative. You can understand it better. Yes, we have elders guiding us. We have mothers and fathers. They are our elders too. We have our teachers, and they are our elders. We have our philosophers and our teachers. We have our leaders. We have our government and so forth. They are our guide and direction, but they only show us the way. That's why the words of the master teacher were, "I am the way, the truth, and the light. All you that follow after me will enter into the divine, will enter into the Holy of Holies, and that is your own inner sanctuary." So walk with me today in response to who you are. Listen to your elders, and then follow what they say. Listen to your elders, and then follow what they say. Listen to them, and follow them. Do not worship them. Do not feel only they can give you the guidance. For they have said to you, as your mother and father said, as Jesus and others said, "I must go now so the Comforter can come." You have now reached the age of maturity. You're on your own. Are you willing to be on your own? Nope. We still like to hang on to mommy and daddy to the very end of their days. We still like to hang on to our brothers and sisters to the ends of their days. And the day comes when we're all alone. There's no mother and father, no brothers and sisters, no elders that we know about. And so then we want to go in the spirit world. And we want to take them from the spirit world and say, "Well, I hear you." And that's okay. But that's still holding on. And the day will come when we no longer need that. We merely go to the divine within ourselves. And when we do that, then the miracle of perfect life is all that we know. So this day, you be the elder in your life. You be the guide to yourself. And then once you find the way, let the elder go and walk the path in perfect harmony, in perfect right action, in perfect truth. I love you. And the elder in me loves me, and the elder in me loves you, and the younger in me loves me, and the younger in me loves you. That's a nice term, isn't it? Younger. I think that's beautiful. So, my friends, you're wonderful. I love you, I love you, I love you.